Something caught in my throat.
Hello, and welcome to The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. I'm your host, Cameron Lindsay. And each week, I hope you'll join me to hear a story that sucks. A tale that is so terrible, an adventure so awful, that it's great. This week, I will be reading one chapter of a story. As always, the author's original intent has been maintained as much as possible. So without further ado, here is Random Toe Cheese, Chapter 1, Jack the Trout, by Ukulele. Hola, mis amigos. Bing.
I thought you were taking French.
Me. I am. Je ne parle pas espagnol. Mais je sais quelques mots. Bing.
Right.
Me. You know I hate that. Bing.
What?
Me. The right thing. Bing.
Well, sorry. Can we get on with my story now?
Me. I suppose. Disclaimer. He doesn't own anything. Get over it. Jack the Trout. Once upon a time, on the bottom of the ocean, there lived a trout named Jack. Every day, Jack swam and swam, because that's all he could do, seeing as he was a fish and all. Meanwhile, nearby was the land of the rabid goldfish. Now, the rabid goldfish weren't very friendly goldfish, but they enjoyed their daily helping of tea and Buzz Lightyear gummy snacks. One day, as the two little rabid goldfish, Cory and Topanga, were fighting over who got the last blue Buzz Lightyear gummy, Jack swam by their land. Immediately, all of the rabid goldfish foamed at the mouth and headed straight for Jack.
Oh no!
Cried Jack.
I'm going to be eaten by rabid goldfish!
However, Jack was a fast little trout and found a rock to hide under until the coast was clear.
Hey, where did that...
Suddenly, Cory was interrupted by a huge splash. Something incredibly bulky had fallen in the water.
Ah, look, it's a bird!
Said Topanga.
No, it's a plane!
Said another rabid goldfish named Sandra.
Ah, it's a half-mutilated kangaroo!
Exclaimed Cory, who received many disbelieving looks.
No, really, it is!
All of the other rabid goldfish were happy to see that this was a true observation and aimed straight for the half-mutilated kangaroo, for it was written in the legend of the rabid goldfish.
If thou is the first of the rabid goldfish, thou wilt be granted one single wish. If only that rabid goldfish can thus do... Speak with a half-mutilated kangaroo.
Wow, what luck,
thought Cory.
Now I can have a lifetime supply of blue Buzz Lightyear gummies.
But before he knew it, Sandra had already begun conversing with the half-mutilated kangaroo. And voila, a rabid goldfish ghost appeared and began to speak in rhyme.
Thou art the first of the rabid goldfish, and thou wilt be granted one single wish. Since thou hast spoken without ado to a half-mutilated kangaroo. Now answer me these questions three, if it is your wish you wish to see.
Wait,
cried Sandra.
There's nothing about three questions in the legend.
Ah, thou hast not seen the small print then,
said the ghost, whipping out his copy of the legend. And sure enough, there on the bottom was a microscopic version of what the ghost had just said.
Okay, ghost. I'm not afraid of your silly questions,
Sandra said bravely. The ghost began.
What is your name?
Sandra the Rabid Goldfish,
she replied.
What is your wish?
Well,
wrong,
shouted the ghost as Sandra got sucked into the half-mutilated kangaroo's three-quarters of the way mutilated mouth, vanishing forever. The next to converse was Topanga, and her questions followed.
What is your name?
Topanga, the rabid goldfish.
What is your wish?
To have all of the orange soda in the world.
All of the rabid goldfish gasped in astonishment at the evilness of her desire. Laughed the now evil Topanga. The ghost continued. What is the 431st entry in the P volume of the Encyclopedia Britannica?
I don't know!
She screamed, as she then too was taken out of sight, but she by overexcited lobsters. Next up was Corey, finally ready to get his wish, because he knew the 431st entry in the P volume of the Encyclopedia Britannica was pineapples. The ghost started again. What is your name?
My name is Corey Ballori Henegori Pinavori Casnujori de la Cruz.
What is your wish?
To have a lifetime supply of blue Buzz Lightyear gummies,
he answered, ready for the next question. What is your favorite color?
Pineapples! No, wait!
Wrong! Corey, too, vanished forever. The end. Me.
Hey, you can't just end it like that.
Bing.
Oh, you're right. I forgot the most important part of the story, the moral. And the moral of the story is, never put a fork in the microwave.
Me. You still can't end it like that. Although, I'm glad it's over. You never said what happens to Jack, and his name is in the title, for heaven's sake. Bing.
Oh, Jack got stuck under a rock and drowned.
Me.
He's a fish!
Bing.
It's my story.
Me. I think the only part I liked is when Sandra vanished forever. My story is going to be 10 times better than yours. Bing.
Bring it on!
Announcer guy.
Tune in next time to hear Amanda's story.
Bing.
We don't need an announcer guy!
Stabs announcer guy.
Shing!
Me. Thanks a lot. Now I have to change the rating. That was Random Toe Cheese, Chapter 1, Jack the Trout, by Ukulele. And now time for the part of the show where we bring on a special guest to talk about the story that we just heard. But first, I'd like to talk to you all first. For those of you who have been listening from the beginning, we're now on our 11th episode, in the beginning of Season 2 of The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. That means we're going to start playing new games and have some exciting new special guests. We also want to hear what you have to say. So leave us a review on iTunes, or look us up on SoundCloud by searching The Best Worst Story You've Never Read, and leave a comment. You can also email us at lexoutloud@gmail.com. And you can subscribe. We'd really like that. Any ideas, welcome. And we hope to have some new and exciting changes coming up in the next episodes. But now we're ready for our special guest. Today we have Jared Bush, who is a comic, producer, and host at Let's Comedy in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's also a volunteer liar fighter. Jared, welcome to the show.
Well, hey there, Cameron. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for asking. A volunteer liar fighter, that's pretty weird.
You think so?
Well, I mean, I'm familiar with volunteer firefighters. I'm familiar with volunteer Nier fighters.
Mm. Yeah, and the occasional volunteer Geiger fighters.
Oh, yeah.
I've been confused with those a bit.
Man, I can imagine. But the Lyre fighter, that's weird. What, can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of folks think I'm standing for truth. As far as fighting liars and bringing the truth to surface, but actually I'm fighting the old instrument, the lyre. Kind of looks like a harp.
Oh. How different is that from a lute, would you say?
In name, mostly.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. The lute is like a flute, but just not an F.
Really?
Yeah, and a lyre is, it's actually a biblical instrument.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Somebody threw a spear at somebody playing a lyre in the Bible.
So you can only play it in spirit. So like if like I was not present at an orchestra, I could be like, I'm playing in spirit,
No,
I'm playing the liar.
Someone threw a spear.
Oh, yeah.
At someone playing a liar.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So I've kind of adapted.
Excuse me. Oh my. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, we made it biblical. So, but that's my approach: is I throw spears.
At just, people playing liars.
Yes.
Huh. Well, I'll make sure not to play one in person or in spirit.
Because I. Yeah. I have my physical spear and my spirit spear.
Yeah, well,
aimed at you.
I feel the point. you've gotten to the point with me. So, what did you think about our story that we just heard? Random Toe Cheese by Ukulele, Chapter 1, Jack the Trout.
So that was the first chapter.
Yeah, there's a second chapter that we'll be reading on next week's episode.
Oh well, first of all, I want to mention. That throat thing you had going on for a while, it sounded like you had like a frog in your throat.
Mm.
It sounds like it's really cleared up, and I really you know.
You like my voice?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is what it is, you know. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that really cleared up. We were all really concerned on the other end here.
It was tough for me. There was a small hospitalization period. I wasn't entirely sure I was going to make it through, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I don't want to make it more than it was, but I actually had a small boulder inside of my larynx.
So a rock?
I mean, it's bigger than a rock. Oh. I would say smaller than a mountain.
Mm. And you just passed it this morning or this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, you can see it right over there.
Ooh, wow! In the corner, a lot of mucus on that.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Your voice is great.
Thanks. I mean, I think for the amount of blood that's still in my throat and still kind of spilling over the side of my mouth, I think it works pretty well.
I do too, and I think it added a lot to an already engaging story.
Oh,
so back to the story.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was interesting, right? I mean, there was a story nested inside this frame story.
Yeah, I felt like it had a lot of layers. It should be said that this story was written by Ukulele before Inception. I think there's a really good chance that Inception actually took some references from this story.
Ukulele should really check that out. I'm also I also like the author's name because I enjoy the ukulele or the ook, as some pretentious people call it. But it's also not a liar.
Yeah, well, we know what you would have to do if that was. Well, actually, I guess I don't know if the author's username was liar. Would you have to spear her?
I would do my best. Being a liar fighter,
right?
Mm-hmm. It's just in my nature. I would if worse in the comment section that she'd posted, I would post a picture of a spear.
Oh.
And then under it says you.
I feel like that could be a little confusing because, I mean, she's not a spear.
No.
That's not what you're insinuating, I don't think.
No, she's not a spear, but she's going to look at it and say, spear? Who's that for? And then read it, and her eyes are going to get big. She goes, me.
What if she was to misread the you part and think it said uke and be like, oh, God, this guy's pretentiously missaying my name.
Oh.
I just want you to know, like, the potential possibilities that might arise if you were to do this.
Okay.
If she were to change her username.
Yeah. To liar. I would make it very clear. I'd put you, a bunch of exclamation marks, and then maybe, like, a finger pointing out of the screen.
Oh, like, directly towards the
viewer. Yeah.
Huh.
Spear. You.
Oh.
You felt it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Just, I mean, you've got a bag full of spears here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like this one right now.
It's sharp.
I know.
It's sharp. That one's one of my favorites.
Throat is bleeding now, my finger.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
Yeah. You really put your blood, sweat, and tears into this project here.
Well, you know, this is season two. We've come a long way.
And I'm happy that I made season two premiere.
Yeah, yeah. You are our season two premierist.
Do you want me to leave a spear for you?
You know, that'd be great. I think that's something that we should start doing. In fact, I feel like we give a lot to our special guests, and I feel like, I mean, I think Dustin would agree with this. Our special guests should leave something for us too.
Spears for everyone, just because I'm so happy about being the second.
Jared. Especially dill spears. I like dill spears a lot.
I don't think Dustin really understood.
No, he's thinking of pickle spears.
Dustin, yeah. So dill spears are a type of pickle. And honestly, knowing
I love pickles.
Yeah, I know, Dustin, but we've had this conversation before. You prefer the chips, which doesn't make any sense to anyone except you. So you, I mean, we don't have the pickle spears here. You don't want them anyway. You want them in chip form.
Spears.
I was told not to make a lot of pop references, so I'm going to go ahead and forego a Britney Spears reference right now. I just want that on the record.
All right. Well, I'll write it down.
Thank you.
Britney
Spears.
Spears.
Foregone.
Foregone.
Can I have a copy of the record when we're done, too?
Sure, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Well, we can just put it on the itemized receipt, if that's okay.
That
you'll receive at the end.
Very good.
Okay, yeah. Well, what about a game? Do you want to play a game?
I'd love a game.
So the first game that we're going to play is a classic game that we've always played, where we ask the special guest to write a prequel or a sequel, some kind of response to the story that we just heard.
Mm-hmm.
How about, since there's another chapter coming up, how about you write a prequel to Random Tochi's Chapter 1, Jack the Trout by Ukulele?
Okay.
But so I don't know if you're familiar with the podcast, but you only get 5 minutes to write this response. So I hope you're prepared. It might get a little bit shambly, but I don't know. You seem like the kind of guy who knows what he's doing.
Well, good. I'm glad I give that image off.
Well, I mean, you have that.
I have that air of confidence about me.
Well, yeah.
Fake it till you make it.
That. Well, yeah. I was also referring to the sticker that you're wearing on your shirt.
It says, I'm confident?
Yeah, well, that one too, but the other sticker that you're wearing under that says, I'm prepared to write a five-minute story about another story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a lot of stickers there.
Well, I'm prepared for most situations. Even this one says, this sticker says, I'm prepared with stickers. I'm prepared to convey myself with stickers as this one. It's pretty long.
Yeah. I thought that one was actually just your shirt.
No.
But it's a sticker.
I'm actually not wearing a shirt. It's all stickers.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's
This sticker says I saved some money on shirts.
Well, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess with that, we should just go ahead and take our 5 minutes now.
Start the clock. Is there a clock?
Yes.
Okay. Did you start it?
But, well, it's outside. I've got to go out there first.
Okay. I'll wait here.
All right.
Can I still tell you to start the clock dramatically?
Yeah, well, I'll probably just edit it so that...
Okay, 1, 2, 3. Start the clock, Cameron.
Clock starting.
Sweet.
Is it okay if I say that?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
That 5 minutes went really quickly.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, Jared, I don't, is that a coin you have in your hand?
Mm-hmm.
First off, we don't need to flip that for any reason, because we don't need to figure out who's going to go first. You're the only one that's reading today.
Mm.
Secondly, did you not read the warning about the high-powered magnets on the door when you walked in?
I saw that.
And you just brought a coin in anyway?
I didn't know how high the high-powered magnets
are. Really high, all right?
Yeah.
They are really high-powered magnets.
Do all studios have really high-powered magnets?
No, that's what makes this one special. We don't... It's strictly so that there will not be any robots or foreign currencies. Or domestic currencies, for that matter. We just simply do not allow metal of any sort in here.
Well, as you know, Cameron, I have been listening for a while. And I brought it in on purpose.
Jared.
Because I just wanted to hear you say high-powered magnets.
Well, Jarrett, I'm glad that you like that. I'm glad that you like hearing me say that, but I'm going to need to ask you to eat the coin.
That's your solution? You do that for every guest?
Well, yes. Everyone knows that every special guest is required to have a lead stomach.
Bottoms up. It was a half dollar.
Well, I'm glad that it's gone.
Yeah.
So your story, you already, you wrote a prequel for Random Tochi's Chapter 1, Jack the Trout, by Ukulele.
Yes, right? I did.
So I guess whenever you're ready, you can start the reading.
Okay. Now, I wrote this very quickly, and I really wanted to explore more of what was going on between Amanda and Bing. Amanda was the storyteller's name.
I believe that's true, yeah.
I believe so, too. We have to believe. Amanda loved Bing. Amanda and Bing had grown up together. You know, Amanda had taken this walk many times to meet Bing over the years, but this time was different. She could feel it in the air. This was the time Amanda were to reveal her true feelings for Bing. Amanda was hesitant because of Bing's constant sarcasm. Right, she can hear him say it now. But that response won't do in a confession of love. Because of the sarcasm, Amanda attempted to learn French and to deliver her message of love using French. Bing wouldn't appreciate that. Even though you can't be sarcastic in response to French. I will tell him through story, says Amanda. What else is immune to sarcasm? Fish. I will confess my love through the power of story, a story of the ages, of our love and of fish. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That was it.
Wow. I'm brought back to an earlier time in my life when, this is a little embarrassing to admit, but I had a crush like this, too. And I also taught myself a language so that that sarcastic-ass punk wouldn't be able to respond so negatively.
Really?
Yeah, I learned Esperanto for it.
No kidding.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that I would choose that language, I guess.
Because as I was writing that, in that 5 minutes, I thought, this is a really stupid reason to learn a language.
I mean, it was. It didn't work in my scenario.
No.
In my case, okay. No, she was still very sarcastic. In fact, you can respond to Esperanto with sarcasm.
Oh, how does that sound?
Well, I mean, she just spoke English.
Oh, okay.
She didn't speak Esperanto, okay. So she didn't know what I was saying, and she was like, what?
Yeah, you know, I really just tried to explore the nuances between their relationship a bit more, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if I really achieved that or really spoke to that much.
I mean, you spoke whatever you wanted to speak.
Yeah. I mean, it was from my mind to the pen, and that's how I wanted it. But really, Bing came there expecting a story from Amanda.
Well,
because when she started fumbling through her French, Bing said, okay, on with this story.
It wasn't, you sure it wasn't me who was saying on with the story as Bing was?
Isn't the narrator Amanda? Wasn't Amanda who wrote it?
I don't know. I think what we're getting confused here, and this is a literary lesson to our listeners as well. So it's unfair to assume that the speaker in the story is the same as the author. Not everything's autobiographical, Jared. Come on, that is an amateur rookie mistake.
I just focus mostly on liars here.
I think it's true too of liars that the maker of the liar is not the same as the performer.
Thanks for bringing it to my level.
Yeah,
I made that connection.
Yeah, no problem. You know, that's what I do. I like when things are like way too smart for somebody. I gotta dumb it down for them. And as a person who has been dumb before and is no longer dumb, I know how to get it. I bridge the gap, basically.
Yeah. You're like the Jimmy Carter for dumb people.
Yeah, that's pretty apt.
Yeah.
I farm the peanuts. I have the lower and middle class.
Sure, mostly he was mentality. Because a diplomat.
Right. Like Israel, Palestine.
Yeah.
Middle East conflict.
But his peanut farming was also very important. I just felt like there were so many layers in this story.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, I was really listening to the story and I was thinking, is me, I kept in mind what you taught me. I was wondering if me is telling the story to Bing because if to illustrate her certain approach on, like, philosophy or religion.
Oh, well, here, I have a question. Did you see this story as being from me? I mean, I thought that this story was from Bing and that the next story, this next chapter would be from me or Amanda.
Oh.
But I might be confusing it. I mean, that's what I think is perhaps confusing about this story. But I think the confusion really adds to it. The layers that we're talking about make it so that it really begs for interpretation.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something that could be taught in numerous courses. You could have entire seminars dedicated
study
to this
groups.
Story. Oh, if there aren't already, there certainly are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'd like to welcome all of our listeners to our Random Tochi's study group, which will be meeting kind of just in like a shared thought space.
Yeah.
This coming Tuesday at around 3:47.
Okay, and where will the shared thought space be located?
If you just kind of like just picture a large forest, right? And then as you travel deeper into the forest, you'll find a small rocket ship.
Yes. It's next to the Panera.
Yeah. Yeah, inside of the Panera.
Okay.
But you got to be careful because there are two Paneras around the rocket ship. There's one around the stern, but it's not that one. It's not the wrong one.
Don't go
the
into
stern.
That one.
No. We won't be there.
Okay. I think can I just GPS it? I mean, really?
Yeah, you can just put it in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you give me the address, the imagination address?
I'll just send it to you right now through our minds.
Okay, you know what? You are absolutely right, Cameron, because I'm reading my notes.
Mm-hmm.
Bing did tell the story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And did he ever?
Whoa.
Look out. What was your favorite part of the story?
My favorite part of the story was the Buzz Lightyear gummies. And I feel like that's something that maybe older listeners wouldn't understand because they might not be familiar with Toy Story.
Yeah.
Or certain personal pleasuring items. The Buzz Lightyear gummy, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's both gummy. It buzzes. It lights up in case you can't find it.
Oh, okay. I see now where your confusion is lying with. Buzz Lightyear is one of those pop references.
Oh, man.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the story, Cameron.
Yeah.
I think it was at the end and there was an announcer.
Really? That's really sad for you because the announcer was stabbed and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You just like it when the announcers are stabbed?
No, I really like it because it was the most honest character in the story.
Oh, the honesty really was just, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because no one was supposed to be where they were supposed to be.
But he was the announcer?
The announcer was supposed to be where he was supposed to be.
And that's where he
to
was.
Illustrate that no one should be anywhere where they should be in this story.
Or in life, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of people not being where they're supposed to be, we have a new game that we're going to play.
Yes.
So this game is called A Grand Interpretation.
Okay.
And what's going to happen is I'm going to ask you to embody your grandparent. That can be your grandmother, your grandfather, other genders. And what you're going to do is you're going to be recounting the story that we just heard as if you're that grandparent. And recounting it to a friend, a colleague, a peer, a pet, some memory-aiding, like, small dolphin robot or something.
Okay, yeah.
Just tell us, I guess before you start, just tell us maybe where you're, whether, what grand being you're going to be, and who you're recounting the story to.
Okay. I do like the, you said the robot, the dolphin robot?
Yeah.
The memory?
Yeah, well, for our grandparents that are suffering with dementia or something, they might...
In the future?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna be my grandma.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to be telling the story because in the future she lives a very lonely life out in the wasteland.
That's sad.
And there's the only, the memory dolphin.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's part of, you know, to collect humans' memories and in order to catalog them.
Oh.
So it's a big project before...
It's like StoryCorps.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's to preserve human existence because they're dying out.
Right.
But my grandma remains the same as she is in this age. Just clarify.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. You know what, Dolphin? I just heard the craziest thing. There was this person talking to another person, and his name was Bing. Yeah, I guess kind of like Bing Crosby Dolphin. I don't know. I wasn't too sure on that, but it might have even been Bing Crosby. I don't know. I loved his voice, but I don't believe what they said about him being violent. How could anyone sing when Irish eyes are smiling? How could they be violent? Anyways, Bing was just hanging out, telling this sarcastically, wanting to hear about her, his friend. I think she was taking French or some other language. I'm not so sure why she was taking that language. It just doesn't, why bother? I mean, really, Dolphin, you know what I mean? Oh, Dolphin, you're fine. No, you're fine. You can take a seat there. Okay. So Bing told this story. And let me tell you, it was a story about a trout. And I believe the name was Jack. It's a classic name, Jack. Now, Jack the Trout, I don't know if he actually ever did much, because the story starts talking about goldfish, which, yes, like the kind I have in the corner there. My goldfish are great. But these were called Cory and Topanga, and they were rabid. Now, I don't think you... No, Dolphin, I don't know if goldfish can get rabid either. Maybe I misunderstood. Maybe they said rabbit goldfish. Either way, it's confusing. You're right. So, you know, that's a really good point, Dolphin. I didn't think about asking, you know, who at the radio, because I just heard it on the computer and it was just very confusing. I don't know exactly what a Buzz Lightyear gummy is. I'm not familiar with that reference. So, anyways... Apparently, they were rabid, and then there was a half-mutated kangaroo, yep, like in the outback. And I thought, well, this is getting exciting. I'm going into the outback. Maybe I'll catch me a Crocodile Dundee or some. You know how they are with their chest hanging out. So anyways, I thought this was, the story's taking an exciting turn. This kangaroo falls into the water, and it's dead, poor thing. And the fish... The rabid goldfish, I guess they, like, talk about it, and I think it has something to do with, like, wishes. And there was the ghost, and it was spooky. But then the ghost granted wishes for the first fish to talk to him. Although they all kind of talked to him okay, so I didn't really know. And I'm trying to figure out the moral of the story, and I think it was mostly just be grateful for what you got.
Beep, boop, boop.
And I'm grateful I have you, Robot Dolphin.
Yeah, I don't know if that was appropriate or not. I just thought it would be good to, since you were embodying the grandma.
You felt it and you jumped in.
Yeah, I was like, I splashed in as if I were a dolphin. That was not robotic, though, because they can't go in water.
No,
the circuitry dolphins would get fried.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that. I appreciate you playing the new game with us.
I was happy to do it.
Grand Interpretations. Well, I guess that's about all. Jared, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Cameron.
Yeah. I did want to say the Spears. I don't know if we can keep them here.
Because of?
The metal, the high-powered magnets.
Yeah.
At first, I thought that the rock on top was just limestone. But no, that's...
As you're finding the spears are being flung across the studio.
Yes, which has been difficult for me to dodge. I was already bleeding from my finger and my throat, and now I've got several cuts and bruises everywhere else.
These were meant for people who play lyres, and I didn't mean for podcast hosts. So I do apologize.
That's okay. So I think we're just going to have to end the show by asking you to swallow those as well.
Okay.
So thanks for being our special guest, and I guess thanks for being the volunteer lyre fighter that you are.
Happy to do it.
Farewell, Jared.
Farewell.
If you would like to hear your story read, send us a copy online at lexoutloud@gmail.com. Special thanks to our special guest, Jared Bush. This week's story comes courtesy of Ukulele. The Best Worst Story cast this week includes Alex Chesser. Our theme music is by Dustin Jones, who also produces the show. This has been a production by Lex Out Loud, a.k.a. LOL, Kentucky's freshest improv team. I am your host, Cameron Lindsay, and this has been The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. Keep the stories coming.